We are really honored today to have our friend, Dr. Bill Coker, here to speak with us today. But before I introduce him, yeah, it's amazing. We're blessed to have him. I just want to speak to you for a second as our church and just say, as both Jay's wife and just as a member here, I am really proud of this church. And I am just really proud of you guys. Y'all have really been the church. Y'all are being the church. Y'all are doing the things that a church does. And I'm just so blessed to be a part of this body, just as a member. And I just want to tell you guys that it's evident. Your personal walk with God, your growth and your seeking Him, it's evident and it shows. And there's evidence of that. And so I just want to thank you guys for being the church. And I bless that. And so today we have a special opportunity to have a guest speaker, our friend Dr. Bill Coker, who is the senior pastor at Fountain of Life Church. We are so blessed to have him here today, and we just want to recognize the God that we see in him. That's the same God that we serve, and I am so blessed that we get to share in his anointing. We get to borrow the grace that God's put on his life today. So I pray you guys will just come and help me welcome Dr. Coker today.
God bless you. Amen and good. Amen. Well, good morning, Legacy. I'm used to preaching early in the mornings. When I was a chaplain in the Air Force, we used to get up early. Everybody say early. They used to say, oh, dark 30. I didn't know what the O was, but I showed up. But I'm just so delighted to be here with you today and to share the word of God and to share in this ministry. You are my friends. And I thank God for the work of God that you're doing here. You're touching lives, your presence, your witness, your worship, and all that you do. As you go amongst the people in New Braunfels and Schertz and Cibolo, Selma, and all the places around, even all the way up to Dallas, that you represent what the Apostle Paul calls a living human document. You might be the only Bible they get to read. Amen. When I was serving in the military, my congregation was made up of people who believe and people who didn't believe. But one of the things I never did was to carry my Bible and flaunt it before them. I took in the word of God when I went amongst them. They were reading the Bible. And I pray that's your life. Amen? I pray that is your life. We want to honor the angel of this house, my good friend and brother, Pastor Jay Mueller. We've been praying together, breaking bread together. And I told him a few weeks ago that we need to go ahead and just buy a franchise at one of the Chinese restaurants, Mama Fu's. So if you see us wearing a red jacket, listen, don't blame us. We just decided to take over. Amen. We thank God this morning for Pastor Jay that's out on the mission field. I thank God. You know, sometimes not all of us can go, but can I tell you that we can send those who go? Amen. And we have sent him with our prayer. He was in my service last Sunday and preached a powerful word. And I tell you, bless my people so much. He told us, he says, the devil talks too much. He said, grab him by the mouth and club him with a word. And I tell you, that was a good word. I'm trying to get it into a tweetable form, but it's just too long. I want to honor his precious bride, Kelly, my dear sister. Thank you for that invitation. We honor and bless you this morning and thank God for your leadership and all that you do here. Amen. And I want to also honor my wife, Donna, for the past, amen, amen. She has been hanging with me now for the past 34 years. And I told her that if she leaves me, she will never be happy because I will show up wherever she is. Amen. So, but I thank God this morning for all of you. I received a text this morning from Pastor Jay. And I tell you, I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. And he said this morning, it says, man, we're wrapping things up in Thailand. We're getting ready to go to, let me see this other place, Singapore. That's right. Thank you. On the way to Singapore. And here is some of the evidence. How many of you know that God is still in the business of doing miracles, signs, and wonders today? Brother Jay told me, he says, man, we got 407 miraculous healings and 171 inner healings. It's something to praise God about. Inner healings. And so this morning it was confirmed by the worship. God bless you. Where's the worship leader? Just raise your hand. God bless you for being so obedient. Amen. Amen. And for following through, because you are doing, you are preaching, you are sharing, you are singing what is happening in Singapore. And can I tell you that that extension is for us as well. God can bless this house. We don't have to be in Singapore. How many of you know that He's present with us right now? Because it says where two or three are gathered, He is in the midst. Thank you so much. Do I sound better? Amen. Amen. He's in the midst. But I look around today, I see more than two. There's so many of us. So I know that He's present. And how many of you know that when God is present, when He shows up with everything that He is. Amen. So that means that if you need healing, He showed up with healing today. If you need strength, He showed up with strength today. You need some peace, He showed up with peace today. So whatever you need is in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Place your hand over your heart and just prophesy to yourself. Say, Lord, I'm going to receive everything for me that You showed up with. Did you all get that? One more time. Lord, I'm going to receive everything that I need that You showed up with. In Jesus' name. Come on and clap your hands and give Him praise. Amen. I bless and honor you all today. I'm not going to be long before you. Very quickly, the scripture comes to us from Psalms 40, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. If it is all right, can you all stand in reverence to the reading of God's word? And I want to read to you very quickly. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Everybody say, a rock. A rock. And established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. What song are you singing today? Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and I will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turned aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Your wonderful works. And the second verse of scripture comes from Isaiah 40 and 31. Listen, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Gracious Father, we thank You today for Your word. The very word that can transform, the very word that can heal, the very word that can set free. We ask You today, God, to breathe upon us. Breathe upon us life. Breathe upon us, O God, strength and courage, a refreshing confidence as we continue to seek Your face. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today that, God, they will be able to receive that peace that they need out of Your word to help them for the days ahead. We thank You today, God, for Pastor Jay. We pray Your protection over him and his team. Keep them safe and bring them home safely with many more testimonies of Your miracle working power. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. And the people of God shouted a triumphant amen. Amen. Can we say amen one more time? Amen. Can you just give me one last amen on credit and I will not bother you again? Can you say amen one more time? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Beloveds, I want to speak to you for the next few moments from a sermon titled, Living Between Prayer and Promise. Living Between Prayer and Promise. I must ask the question this morning because it was something that I was pondering myself. I'm quite sure many of you are living between the place of prayer and the place of promise. Now, what do you do after you have prayed and are waiting for God to manifest what you've asked Him for, but it seems like it is delayed? What do you do when you have cried out unto God according to His word? You have fasted, you have prayed, you have worshipped, you've done all that you know to do in silence and in solitude, and it seemed like God is not moving. Am I talking to someone in the house today? Because I believe that all of us are waiting for God to manifest the very thing that we've asked Him for. Did he not say if we ask anything in his name that he will answer, he will do something about it? There's a favorite scripture of mine in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call on me and I will answer, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. But I've been crying, I've been calling, but God, why the delay? What is going on? One of the greatest voices of the gospel today in the United States said one time that what seems like a delay is not a denial from God. God is just working out some things to give you the best. How many of you want the best from God? And the last time I checked, best things, good things, take a while to be prepared. We serve a God that can instantly speak to things and it can happen right now, right now. But there are some things that God wants us to discover about ourselves. Somebody say discover. He wants us to discover some things about ourselves. And beloveds, can I tell you that in the season of discovery, there are frustrations. Do I have a witness in the house today? That there are frustrations in the season of waiting. Sometimes I have to query God. God, what's taking you so long? One day he said to me, I'm not in a hurry. He said, the thing that you ask me for, I have to take some time to craft it, to make it so that it can fit you. Let me tell you this. When you ask God for something, the very blessing that you are asking him for, he takes some time to design that blessing so that it can fit you. Let me tell you, there's a story about a man that went to Home Depot to buy a door. He went into the store and he says, I just want a door. They say, sir, what are the dimensions? He says, just give me a door. So they sold him a door. He took the door home and he came home and found out that the door did not fit. So he had to take it back to Home Depot so they can cut it right to size. And this time when he brought it home, he was able to put it. It fit just right. The door was closing. Air was not going through. It was just right. And I want to tell someone today that the thing you're asking God for, God is crafting it just for you so that when he brings it, when you have that rendezvous with the blessing, it fits. It fits. Are you with me today? It fits. And so sometimes as you wait, there's frustration. And here's this. Sometimes the waiting can even test the authenticity of your faith. Are you with me this morning? It will test the authenticity of your faith. What is your faith level? Jesus said to the blind man, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You see, God gave us a proportion of his faith or a measure of faith. Amen. And he says, whenever you ask me for something, if you release your faith to touch my faithfulness, I will release virtue to bring your blessing. And so God is looking for those who have some faith. Those who can reach out and touch him with their faith. Because you see, God is looking. He's looking to see how you exercise your faith to believe. Did he not say in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God? That's what he says. I read that the other day. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that comes to him must believe that he is. And that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you seeking God today? Are you seeking him in faith? Or are you seeking him in your folly or in your failure? God says, if I see faith, I will give you favor. Let me put it another way. It says, if you stretch forth yourself in faith, God says, I will extend myself in favor to you. Are you standing for a blessing today? I dare you reach out and touch him with your faith today. And sometimes in this place of waiting, it can almost alter your focus. It tests your faith, the strength of your faith. It causes frustration. But it also can almost alter your focus. The very thing that you're supposed to be looking at and looking for, if you're not careful, you become so engrossed in the problem and forget to look to Jesus. Amen? To look to Jesus. But I want to tell you this morning. I've come to tell you that we have that guaranteed promise from God. Somebody say guarantee. That guaranteed promise from God that if we pray asking anything in his name, he said he would do it for us. When is he going to do it for us? I don't know. You don't know. But I heard one day in the scripture, he says, in due time. And some of us are in our due season right now. Because I believe that your breakthrough is just another praise away. Your breakthrough is another worship away. Your breakthrough is another step away. Don't move from where God has established you, because if you move, you might just be moving from the target, because God is about to release a blessing right where you are. Right where you are, don't move. Just nudge your neighbor and say, stay right where you are. Because you see, the thing is, if you move, you might miss it. David shares his testimony of his own deliverance. He was in a place of anticipation, hoping for God to deliver, hoping for God to do something different. How many of you know that when you call on God and he moves, things don't stay the same? When God shows up in your business, things have to change. Are you with me today? Things have to change. Things have to change. Did you get that? Things have to change when God shows up. But David was between the place of prayer and the place of promise. And this is what I like to call the place of patience. The place of patience. Between the time that you prayed and the manifestation of your promise, there is a waiting period called patience. How many of you are in patience right now? Patience is a process. It is not something I delight in. None of us were born with patience, but God will teach us patience. So listen, let me tell you this. Be careful what you're asking for. Because if you're asking for some big things, God is going to make you wait. He's going to make it not because he's not able to do it, but because he's trying to recondition you so that you can be the best recipient to receive what you're asking him for. Some of us are looking for that $1 billion jackpot. Are you ready for it? What are you going to do with it? But God perhaps is conditioning and reconditioning you, remaking you, refashioning, restructuring you, so when the abundance comes, listen, you can have room for it. I asked the Lord the question one time. I said, Lord, why are you stretching me so much? He says, because I want you to have the capacity to receive the abundance you're asking for. God, listen, just tell God, thank you for the stretch. Lord, I thank you for the stretch. Because God is just giving you room so that when the blessings hit, nothing goes to waste. It fills you up and there's an overflow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, one of the most difficult and trying seasons in life is having to live between the place of prayer and the place of promise. You see, there's a very distinguished thing here that I need to share that very quickly. You see, when Israel was in bondage, they cried out unto the Lord. And God heard them. That cry was a prayer. God heard them. And how many of you believe that God still hears us today? Somebody in here has been crying for God to do something better in their lives. Somebody has some financial struggles and you've been praying, God, do something about this. I want to be debt free. Last year you're saying, Lord, I wanted to be debt free. And here is 2016, you're still with a debt. God, what are you doing? Someone is saying, my relationship is falling apart. God, what are you doing? Do you see us? Didn't you say that what you put together, let no man separate? Somebody's praying today for a job. You try to find a job, but all you can do is get this side jobs. But God is looking to bring you a salaried position with some benefits. Am I talking to someone today? Beloved, I want to tell you that when you pray, God hears you and he answers immediately. But the manifestation takes some time. It takes some time because God is trying to do a work in you so that you can be the proper fit for the blessing. There's a rendezvous that's coming, and God says, when that time comes, nothing goes to wait. There will be no doubt that that's your blessing. When I was in the military living in Germany, they came to my house one day and said, we're giving you orders to go back to Texas. So go to Texas. I never thought about coming to Texas, but I love it. I love it. And I remember that this guy's coming to my house and they had all these slips of paper. They were inventorying every item we had in our house. And I'm trying to just fathom in my mind, how are they going to be able to get all these things together and get it to my right address? Because I don't have a home yet in Texas. They said, we got it. So when you get there, just call our office and tell us where you want us to bring your goods. And I never forgot the morning that this big old truck pulled up in front of my house, blocked about three houses. I thought my neighbors were going to be mad. I said, my God, you mean I've got all these things? And I looked at every crate. It had my last name and the last four of my social security number. And I'm wondering, you mean I got all that stuff? And I inside I was blaming my wife that she has so many things. But how many of you know God's grace is sufficient for us? I'm using this as an illustration to tell you that God has a cargo with your name on it, with the last four of your social security number on it. And you don't have to pay for the delivery, because the last time I checked, Jesus says he paid it all. He paid it all. So all you have to do is just stand in position to receive what God has for you. To stand in position to receive what God has for you. Israel cried out unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry. This word to cry is in the Hebrew, a loud wailing. A loud wailing. Have you heard someone wail in pain? Wail in despairment? Wail in frustration? My grandmother used to wail in the midnight hours. We didn't understand that, but she had some things before God, and it seemed like God was taking his time, and she will wail and we will hear grandmother's cry. And God always answered. For some reason, God always answered. Do you have something that is deep in your heart today that you are trying to release to God and you don't believe that God can do anything about it? I come to tell you that God says, bring it on. It says, burden me with the very things that burden you. Whether it's your healing, your finances, your job, your marriage, whatever it is, God says, bring it on. Yeah. The children of Israel cried unto God, prayer on the one side. But on the other side, God highlighted the promises this way. He says, listen, it says, I will bring you up from that land to a good land. Everybody say good land. And to a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I heard a preacher say, even the parasites. God has heard your prayers. But I must pause here to say to you this afternoon, beloveds, that these named people and locations were geographical identifiers or boundaries marking the vicinity or the location of that blessing. And let me put it this way. I want to tell you that God will set your blessing within geographical identifiers or boundaries, and he will establish landmarks that will lead you to your blessing. Sometimes we think that the oppositions and the blocks and the barriers and the limitations are setbacks. God is using those things to redirect your path to get to your blessing. And you know another good news is this, and listen to this, that God will use your enemies, listen, to keep watch over your blessings until you get there. That's the truth. Your enemy thinks that they're holding all the monies from you. That lottery jackpot is up to $1.3 billion. I don't know much about it. I'm not connected to that kind of money. But I'm connected to the money that goes to God. I call it a tithe. Amen. I'm just trying to help someone here this morning. But God will allow your enemy to keep watch over your blessing until you get there. And then God scatters them. God scatters them. Israel prayed fervently, and God heard their cry. And the promise of Canaan was before them, but they found themselves standing between the place of prayer and the place of promise. Now, why do you think God wanted to take them through a place called patience or a place called the wilderness before the promise? God could have taken them from bondage right into the blessing. But you know what? The Hebrew culture and their traditions, they have a saying that bondage and blessing can never come close. They can never overlap. Because if bondage and blessing gets close, bondage might desecrate the blessing. So God says, rather than me allowing you to jump from bondage into blessing, he says, let me detox you for a minute.
It says, let me remove some things from you for a minute. Let me cause you to sacrifice some things. Let me cause you to lay aside some weight, some of the habits that you got from Egypt, worshiping those funny gods, getting involved in things that were godless. It says, let me help you to get rid of those things. And that's what happens in the wilderness. And some of us are in the wilderness, the place of waiting. We're saying, God, how long? When will my portion come? God says, I want to make sure that you get rid of those old ways. Because when I get you into promise, I don't want the old influences to mess up the blessing. Amen? So that's the reason why we're in the wilderness. That's the reason why we're in the wilderness. And for 40 years, they were wandering in the wilderness. That word 40 is identified as the number set forth for a probationary period. Probation. You are in probation for 40 years. Some of us are in probation for 40 days. Some for 40 weeks. Some for 40 months. Some for 40 minutes. Some for 40 hours. But 40 means probation. And the level or the time in probation is based on how quickly you release your faith for God to do something. How quickly you release your faith. Because the longer you wait, the longer you meander through the wilderness, the longer the blessing. Listen, it was only 11 days to the promise, but they could not see their way because they were lost in themselves. They were lost in the old ways. Lost in themselves and the old ways. But some of us have been in probation now for a while, but I come to tell you today that God is about to open some doors. This is the year of divine destiny and divine purpose, divine favor. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but it's a place to rejoice because God promised to meet us in 2016. In fact, I told my congregation that 2016 is what we'll call the sweet 16. God is about to put some sugar in your coffee. Amen. Amen. And now, beloved, if you fail to conform, promise will be delayed. What is the purpose of this place of patience? And what is the purpose of the wilderness experience? The place of patience is what we call the number one thing is a place of reconditioning. God has to recondition us so that we can get into the promise. So to recondition means to remake or to restructure or to restore. In the place of reconditioning, the soul is restored. The soul is made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. The way that you began to think when you were in Egypt is different when you were restored. Amen. Amen? The way that you were feeling back in bondage, it has to be different. And your actions have to be different. Amen? So when you're influenced by the things of this world, you will act like the world. But if you're influenced by the things of the Spirit, you will act like Jesus. Amen? Paul says in Romans 8, he says, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Life and peace. So we want to get our minds and our emotions and our will to be reconditioned so that we can see the promise the way that God sees it. Amen? The way that God sees it. Paul says, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, a point of submission, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Listen, beloveds, to be reconditioned means a new attitude in the process, the way that I think, the new attitude, a new aptitude, the way that I reason, and the new attitude, the way that I get to the presence of God. It also means new determinations to serve, a new way of acting. It also means a renewed commitment to remain faithful, a new passion to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so reconditioning inspires maturity in us so that we are able to receive the promise. We're able to receive the promise. God will remake you to fit the promise that he has for you. It is a process, so we must endure it. Secondly, not only is the place of patience a place of reconditioning, but it is also a place of repositioning. We're reconditioned, but it is also a place of repositioning. Repositioning means a change in direction or perception. Sometimes looking at the old routine will delay your destiny. Yes. Amen. Paul says the only way that you can go forward is by forgetting what was behind. But that word to forget in the Greek does not simply mean to obliterate or erase off your mind your past experiences, but he says manage it. manage it in Jesus' name. Allow the Holy Spirit to influence you, to give you the strength. Yes, I remember my past. It was painful, but there's a new day before me. If I stay in my past, I will miss out on the opportunity to celebrate many more blessings. So it says the only way you can go forward is by forgetting what is behind and reaching for what is before. And here's the point. He says, and I stretch myself. I persevere. I inconvenience myself for something that is better than where I'm standing today. Amen? So God wants to reposition us. It will begin to build up your level of maturity and a new perspective to receive and appreciate the promise. The Hebrew writer says to us in Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, listen, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In the midst of noise, you can still look to Jesus and have peace. In the midst of craziness, you can still look to Jesus and have peace. In the midst of deceit, when people talk about you, all you have to do is look to the one who has you in his hand. Amen? Many times, we allow the challenges around us to influence our thinking, our actions, our reason. But God is saying, take your eyes from the storm and look to the one who can control the storm. Amen? Amen? Look to the one who can bring about a change. Look to the one who can bring about a difference in your life. Repositioning simply means to develop your faith to believe God for the promise. Develop a life of a heartfelt devotion to God. That's repositioning. Develops a life of fellowship with those of like faith for accountability and encouragement. But here's another thing. It develops confidence in you to believe God for the hard and impossible and the big things. You know, we've been praying for small things. God, just heal my paper cut. God, just give me a dime for this. But God says, small things don't complement my bigness. Did you get that? God says, small things do not complement my bigness. It says, if you're going to ask me for something that complements my bigness. It says, so ask me for some impossible things. Because in your impossibility, he says, I'm a very possible God. It says, ask me for some things that you can do nothing about. Everyone has turned you down. It says, ask me for that big thing. Because the big thing you're asking me for complements my bigness. Could you imagine a giant hand trying to reach for a grain of sand? It's hard to pick it up. God says, if you ask me for some big things, I can put my arms around it and I can release it to you. I can release it to you. So, beloved, let's look at this again. When we talk about repositioning adjusts your focus to see the promise. It adjusts your focus to see the promise. It gives definition and clarity at what you are looking at when you reposition yourself. This morning in our family devotion, I used the illustration that when you go into the kitchen to get something to drink, you know, some of you have those tall cups that you take jogging. It has a little, so sometimes it does not fit in the sink to fill it up with water because you have dishes from last night that we didn't wash. Amen? But thank God for moving faucets. How many of you have one of those in your homes? Moving faucets are a blessing. There's grace in moving faucets. So if you can get it on this side, you can move the faucet head to this side and fill up your canister and you can go about your business and do the dishes later. God says, I've asked you guys to align yourself with me so you can see the blessing you're asking for the way that I see it. It says, but you have failed to reposition yourself or to position yourself in a way that you can see. It says, so what I'm going to do, because I love you so much and because there's grace, it says, I'm going to move my presence from the clutter so that you can see me on this new side. Did you get that? So God loves us so much that he wants us to see what he sees about us. So he's willing to reposition himself so that you can see him. Amen. In the morning when you wake up, you have to open your blind so the sun can come. And God says, open your blind so you can see me. If you don't do that, I'm going to show up in your house and I'll open the blind for you and sit right in your recliner so you can see me. God wants to bless somebody today. He wants us to reposition ourselves and adjust our focus so we can see the promises of God. Not only that, we can hear the things the way God hears them. Amen. And we can begin to touch things and others the way that God will touch. The place of patience reconditions. The place of patience repositions. But finally, the place of patience is a place of recommissioning. It recommissions us. It sanctifies us so that we are able to touch the things of God. We cannot touch the things of God with unwashed hands, with sinful hands, sinful hearts. But so God says, let me consecrate you. Let me sanctify you. Let me wash you in the blood. Let me recommission you. Let me remake you. It is a time of transformation. He says, take off the old things from Egypt and put on the new things that's in the promise. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if a man is in Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. And Romans 12:2, he says, and do not be conformed. The word to be conformed in the Greek is the word from which we have the word scheme. It says, do not allow yourself to fall in the schemes of this world, but be transformed. In other words, move from the old and embrace the new. How do you do that? By the renewing of your mind so that you're able to prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's what God wants us to do. It's a time of transformation, but also it is a time of consecration or sanctification. Live a life of holiness unto God. It said, therefore, gird up your loins. There's an Oriental imagery that looks at it this way, that the Oriental merchant or kings will gather together their long robes and tied with a belt so they can have the freedoms to run. They're not encumbered by the excess garment. And so God is saying, get yourselves together. That's what it really means. Get yourselves together. It says those things that are hanging loosely. Some of us are taking, listen, 10 suitcases for a one-day trip. God says, leave the 10 behind and get you a small bag and just get one set of change of clothing. Leave the hat cases behind. Leave the shoe boxes behind. Leave the garment bags behind. Just get you one little box. If you want some help, I have a list from the military. I'll show you how to pack. Amen. I show you how to pack and you can go for 90 days without even doing laundry. And everything remains clean. Amen. So, beloveds, what must we do while we are at the place of patience, while we are waiting for God? Simply wait on the Lord. The prophet Isaiah says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. And how do we wait? I'm going to give you an acronym. This word wait is spelled this way. When you look at the W, it's inviting us to watch, which is pray, to worship, kissing the face of God, to allow the word of God to influence our souls. But not only that, don't keep it in, but he says, go and be a witness. That's wait. That's the first thing. Because this word wait in the Hebrew grammatical context, it is expressed as an active tense, ongoing tense. Wait. He didn't say wait passively. He didn't say just sit down and wait for the bus. It says, while you're waiting for the bus, do some cleaning up around you. Help somebody across the street. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Give some monies to help someone to catch the bus. Do something. So it's an active thing. So we watch, we worship, get in the word to influence our soul and witness Christ to others. The A says that we must attend to the things of God in faithful obedience. In faithful obedience, what does that mean to us? That means that there is integrity in what we do. Amen. As we're attending to people, attending to ministry, attending to whatever God has called us to do, God wants us to do that in faithful obedience or in integrity. You're not doing that when everybody else is watching, but you can still do it well when the whole church has gone on home. When we've given the benediction and the church has said amen, we can still continue to attend to the needs of others. We're not looking for the church mothers to say, baby, you're doing good. You're not waiting for the pastor to say, I saw you serving soup at the soup kitchen. But just go there and be a minister. God says, attend. Attend to the things of God in faithful obedience to his will. But the I says we must incline ourselves to virtue rather than vices. In other words, incline yourself to do the things of God rather than allowing shortcomings, the sin of commission and the sin of omission to rule your life. Some people have some secret sins that nobody knows about. But God says, don't allow those things to rule your life. We call those vices. But the virtues are things that flow from God. The things like long-suffering, patience, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, you can read that on your own. But then finally, the T, he says we must trust in the Lord all the way while we wait. Some people are trusting God halfway. But God says, I've never left you behind. He says, I'm going to be with you always. Never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. To trust in God all the way from now until Jesus comes. Amen. To trust him. To trust what? To trust in his word. For his word is true. We're living in a world today where if the church does not rise up to be custodians of the truth, very soon the church will just be a figment of imaginations for generations to come. They will remember that, well, people used to preach and teach something called the Bible, but they don't believe in it. We are called to be custodians and technicians of the Word of God to make it relevant to our generations today and to those who are coming. They should almost smell the smoke because we've left something behind. We've left something behind. So God is looking. Do you believe in the truth today? Can you trust God all the way? You see, there are benefits as I take my seats. There are benefits at the place of patience. And God will be present with you there. As I mentioned before, when God shows up, he shows up with everything that he is. According to Psalm 40, David demonstrated faithful perseverance in his season of trial. He said, listen, I waited patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord. If we wait patiently on the Lord, this is what God will do. He will incline his ear to us. Listen, I don't know about you, but when someone calls my name, I want to make sure that's me that they're calling, so I give them a second chance, and I'll go like this. And that's what God does. When you call on him, he goes like this. He inclines, and this is what inclining means. It's a picture in the Hebrew. He leans just to hear your voice. He inclines his ears. In other words, he positions himself in the direction of that call. But how many of you know that God wants to hear from you every now and then? So when you call him Lord, he inclines his ear in the direction of where his name is called. But not only that, another benefit, he will hear your cry. Inclining does not mean he heard. But God does two things. He leans in the direction of the call and he hears. He listens to everything that you're saying. And sometimes we don't even have words to articulate what we want to express to God. But God will intentionally hear you. And also, he will also bring you out of your trouble. That's what he says. He will bring you out of your trouble. He inclines his ear and he hears you. And then he brings you out of your trouble. God is looking for what you need. He's not going to act on anything you didn't ask him for. But if you tell him, Lord, I need a breakthrough, God says, I'm the master of breakthroughs. His name is Baal Perizim in the Hebrew. The one who breaks out. The one who breaks down walls so that you can come through and your blessing can meet you at the gates. God will set you upon a rock. Not only will it incline his ear, move in the direction of your voice, and hears you and delivers you. But here it is. He will put you upon a rock. Who's that rock today? Jesus. He will put you on a rock and the rock is solid. Yes. There's another message about the rock. Well, we can't do that right now because I'm about to close. But not only that, he will also establish your step. The way that I used to walk yesterday has been in error. And I've caused myself pain and frustrations. I've taken some wrong turns and I'm living the consequences today. But God says, once I set you on that rock, I'm going to give you some new directions. I'm going to show you where you need to step. It says, if you step where I step, you will be safe. Yes. I mean, how many of you have seen the footprint? Yes. If you put your foot where Jesus' prints are, you will be safe. You'll get home safely. But also God will put a song in your mouth. Yes. How many of you know that it's good to sing? Yes. He will put a song in your mouth. Somebody says, well, I'm not a songwriter, I don't know how to sing, but you make a joyful song. Just open your mouth and begin to sing a song. Get a verse of scripture that speaks to your soul and put some music to it. And just make music to God. And finally, God will renew your strength as you wait. He will renew your strength. Beloveds, we must wait patiently for the Lord. Patience is the process through which God remakes you to complement the process that he has for you. It means waiting at every level that leads to that hopeful moment of the manifestation at every level. So don't come back down. Just keep climbing, because as you climb up, your blessing is climbing on the other side to meet you. There's going to be a rendezvous at the summit of that mountain. Amen. And God is about to bring some celebrations and some rejoicings in somebody's heart this week. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Patience means a life of reconditioning, repositioning, and recommissioning. Beloveds, as I take my seat this afternoon, are you willing to submit to the process of waiting patiently on the Lord? Are you willing to do that today? Based on everything we have talked to you about today, are you willing to submit yourself to waiting patiently on God? And what things are preventing you from submitting to this process? Is it your fears? Are you concerned about what people might think about you? Now, this moment is between you and God. Can you trust him today? Can you trust him? Can you invite him in and submit to the process of waiting patiently? Patience is a process. It's not always easy. There's frustration. There's sometimes what seems like setbacks. But listen to this. God promised to be with you while you wait. He promised to be with you while you wait. Sometimes it's lonely. When I was a freshman in college, I remember walking all the way downtown because I didn't have monies for the bus to go downtown. So I'll help the old ladies to put their bags in their cars, and they will give me a couple of dimes until I have a bus fare to go back to the campus. So I walked to town, but I had some money to catch the bus back. But I will tell you this, and sometimes I will sit at the bus stop waiting for the bus. Seemed like I missed the last one. But they will tell me, it's coming. It's coming. But I will sit there and I begin to hum a tune. And it's almost like Jesus was sitting there with me. He was keeping me company until the bus showed up. And I want to tell someone today that you're not alone. God is sitting at that bus stop with you. He's sitting at that airport terminal gate while you're waiting. You might feel like you're alone there, but look around. God is with you. Begin to worship, and he will respond. Perhaps you have been patiently waiting on the Lord for that one thing, and it seems as if you are far from the promise. Get into the process today of being reconditioned, repositioned, and recommissioned, and God will show you your transformation. He will show you better ways and better days ahead. As we stand all over the house today, I want to pray over you. I don't know where you are today in your journey with God. I don't know where you are halted and in frustration between the place of prayer and the place of promise. You made your prayers. You did all your fasting and praying. You even prayed the word of God back to him, but it seemed like there is a delay. I want you to take a moment today and ask yourself the question, am I positioned right? Am I giving hospitality to God to do what he said he would do because I believe? Today, with your head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to just take a couple of seconds and ask God to show you where you're lacking. And I'll tell you this, the good news is if you feel that there's a lack, God will compensate for that lack so that everything will be all right. Your blessing can come quickly. All you have to do is to trust him and reposition yourself now for the flow. There's a flow coming your way. I want to pray over you today. I want to join in agreement with you. I want to join hands with you to encourage your strength. I want to pray that God will give you a refreshing confidence to believe him for your breakthrough. You must believe. You must believe. I'm speaking to your souls right now, to your hearts. I want you to hear the Spirit of God speak to you right now, because I hear him say, I will meet that need. I will make that way. I will open doors that no man can close and close doors that no man can open. God says, I will strengthen that muscle that is almost atrophying. God says, I will send a surge of blood supply to that vein that almost collapsed. God says, I will innovate those nerves and let some impulses begin to jump from node to node to innovate the muscles that will pull on the bone so you can lift your hands to worship and run around this room. God says, I want to do something for you. God says, I see that heart that is not functioning at 100%. God says, I'm about to boost that heart right now in Jesus' name. I don't know, that person might be here or might be at home. God says, I see that lung that's about to collapse, and I'm about to just blow my breath to inflate that lung. God says, I've seen that liver that is just so full of toxins, it cannot break down or deaminate any more toxins. God says, I'm about to cause a shift. I'm about to pour my anointing on the liver to break down those toxins. For that kidney that is not working right, God says, I'm about to clean out the filters of the kidney. I don't know who I'm talking to today. Somebody has a ringing in their ear, and I'm speaking right now into the ear canal that the eardrum and the vibrating bones will align themselves, that hissing sound that you've been hearing throughout the service is gone in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to the digestive system. Somebody cannot digest their food. Right now, I'm speaking to that person. God is about to increase the peristalsis, the process of pushing food right through the bowels, getting rid of all the waste that's been sitting there. You have felt like you're bloated. God says, I'm about to give you relief right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And there are testimonies in this house of what God is doing. You have been waiting between the place of prayer and the place of your promise, the place of your breakthrough. God says, with quickness and with swiftness, I'm about to launch you to the place where you can celebrate. In fact, it says, don't wait till the battle is over. You can begin to celebrate him now. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we seal these words right now, these healing words, these words of transformation into the hearts of your people. Father God, breathe upon them. Embrace them. We pray for the manifestations of miracles, signs, and wonders. The hand that felt like they cannot stretch it, God, cause the muscles to be activated right now. I speak healing to that hand in the name of Jesus. Father God, touch with your healing anointing from the very crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. God, we honor you today. We bless you for the breakthrough. In fact, let's just begin to celebrate Jesus for what he's doing. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. We thank you. We thank you, God. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. For God, you are worthy to be praised. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the signs and wonders. Thank you for breakthroughs, God. We will never be the same as we walk from this place. Beloveds, I declare and decree over you that your healing has come. Walk in your healing today. As you go, like the lepers, as you go, your healing will be made manifest. As you go, your healing will be made manifest in Jesus' name. Did you all receive that today? Or would you clap your hands and give God a praise?